The sermon started out being that doing a little bit of a checkup. You say what a checkup is. We're halfway through the year. At the beginning of the year, we took a challenge there with the rising up and building. And we took this challenge and this thought. And we said, you know, this year we're not going to be satisfied with just being complacent. That this year we're going to have a challenge to grow in our Christian walk. Remember correctly, as we went at the beginning of the year, we talked about how Christ wants to build his church and how Christ desires that we all grow and that we all become more like him and that we all have an interest in being more like Christ and not be satisfied with just maintaining this year, but to grow as Christians. And in the past, I've done a report card sometimes with our teenagers, and I gave them a report card and said, grade yourself in some of these areas. And you know how much kids like report cards, right? They love report card time of year. I know my kids used to like report cards. I never liked getting report cards, but report cards. And, you know, if you were going to grade yourself as a how much you read your Bible versus how much you're supposed to, what type of grade would you get? And your prayer life and as a soul winner. You know, we gave illustrations about that, and I thought that's the way the Lord was leading tonight, but God kind of changed it a little bit. And still this idea is, how are we doing? You know, 6 months in, how are we doing? If God has spoken to our heart at the beginning of the year about, hey, I want to grow in these areas, how are we doing? I mean, have we really truly grown? If we said that we're going to read more of the Bible this year, then have we gotten there? Or if we say we're going to memorize more verses this year, have we gotten there? If we say we're going to pray more, or if we're going to give more, or we're going to start telling more people about Jesus Christ, you know, have we been growing? We're halfway there, and as we talk about our theme song, it's as we have a picture of a race, and the importance is that we're running this race, and we need to get there, and we should already be growing, already see growth, already see victories, already see improvements in our relationships and our obedience for Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but most of you may be able to say this has been great. You've already seen growth. You've already seen how God's worked, and yes, you have grown as a Christian. But as I was considering the sermon and as preparing, the Lord kind of led to this direction. You know, it's not all about our goals. It's about what God puts on our hearts. It's about what God wants us to change. It's about what God desires. Because I know sometimes when I look at my life, I'd like to say, well, this is where I want to do better at, and this is where I want to do better at, and this is, but I don't know what's best for my life. God does. And so we come to this spot, and gets like to ask this question as we kind of do this checkup message on how we're doing and seeing how we're progressing in this idea of growing as a Christian this year. You know, we were at point A on January 1st, or that Sunday when we gave the challenge, and we want to be over here at point B at the end of the year, halfway through the year. Have we gotten any closer to that? Or hopefully not fallen back even farther. But I think one of the ways we can reach, go from point A to go to point B, is if we learn to please God. And I know you hear me sometimes when I pray and before our church services, and I don't believe in vain repetitions. I try to let the Lord lead when we pray. But one of the things that's in my heart's desires is that, you know, God be pleased with what we're doing here. I mean, that's just the truth. I mean, it would be horrible to think all the time, effort, energy that goes into having a church service and God not be pleased with what we do. That's not what we're trying to do. I mean, we all get gussied up, or we all at least try to look good for church because we come to God's house. We want to do our best. And, you know, people, you know, they come, they're faithful, and we sing songs. We want to sing the songs that are going to please God. We want preaching that's going to please God. We want fellowship that's going to please God. We want everything that we do. That's my heart's desire. You know, sometimes people... sometimes we had to tweak things, and sometimes people get it wrong at times, and they do it for the wrong reasons. But we come to this spot in this moment, and I'd like for you to guess even give some consideration tonight. Am I pleasing God with my life? And that's where we come into Galatians chapter number 1, is who am I trying to please is the first thing I want you to look at. Galatians chapter number 1, just one verse. It will be a topical message. That's why we're using the screen, to be able to help you understand some different ways to please God. But who am I trying to please? Look what it says in chapter Galatians 1, verse number 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, that verse is very telling. That verse asks the question, who am I going to try to please? You say that word says persuade. Well, that word, if you go back into the Bible, it says to make friend of. Who am I trying to make a friend of? Am I trying to make a friend of someone else? Or am I trying to make a friend of God? Scofield even puts it this way. It's the idea of pleasing God in contrast to pleasing self and pleasing others. So in my life, how I'm doing things, in my growth in this 2016, am I pleasing God with my life? Once again, that's my heart's desire. I want to please God. I don't want it to be about me. I don't want it to try to please other people. I think most of us would know if you try to live your life pleasing everybody else, you're going to have a very, very hectic life. And if you try to please everybody else, you know what's going to happen? You're going to fail. You can't please everybody all the time. People are made up differently. People have different opinions. People have different ideas. People have different thoughts of how things should be done. You should try pastoring a church. Everybody has different thoughts about the way things should be done. And I'm thankful we have a congregation that does not have much strife, that does not have much division, that are kind-hearted people that love the Lord and want to serve the Lord. But sometimes, selfishness and ugly heads rear up and say, well, I think it should be done this way. And someone else, I think it should be done this way. And, well, who's right? Who's wrong? No, we should strive to do to please the Lord. We should want to say, okay, how am I going to please God with my life? And these are just some simple thoughts tonight about how to please the Lord and asking yourself this question. Who am I trying to make a friend of? Am I trying to make a friend of God? Am I trying to make a friend of others? Now, don't get me wrong. This does not mean that we can ignore everybody else. This does not mean that we can go out around and make everybody else mad and we say, hey, I'm pleasing God with my life. Fool you on the rest of you. That's not what the Bible says at all. The Bible talks about our relationships. The Bible is clear about our relationships. The Bible even tells us to live peacefully with all men as much as we can, to live peacefully with all men. So there is a relationship. There is testimonies here. But the question is tonight, all the things we do, you hear on a Sunday night at a good church, faithful here, we want to have a life that pleases God. Am I pleasing God with my life? So here's some litmus tests. Here's some things to check and say, okay, I like to think I'm pleasing God. I like to think that God is pleased with me. I like to think that God is happy with what I'm doing. Here's some ways to check it out. When I was about probably 23 or 24 years old, a friend of mine who I went to a class at Baptist Bible Church, and the teacher that was there left to go pastor a church, and that I kind of got nominated to be the teacher of the class. Now, I was the youngest guy in the class. It was mostly senior citizens. I don't even remember what the class was called. There was about 10 or 15 or 16 of us that were in there. They were all adults. And I don't really remember what years it was, but I remember they asked me to teach the class, and I taught it for a year or two. And a guy asked me a question that I had never been asked before. And, you know, older people, they got great questions. They've been around for a long time. They haven't been able to figure it out, so they want to ask this kid who doesn't know much, do you know the answer? And he says, don't you think God is pleased with us? If all the things that are going on in the world today, with all the wickedness, with all this and all these bad things happening, don't you think God's pleased with us because we're here at church? And I thought about it for a little while, and I says, you know what? I'll have to get back with you that. I says, obviously, if we're doing what we're supposed to do, God is pleased with us. But just because we compare ourselves to the rest of the world and say, hey, look, I'm doing a little bit better than everybody else's, doesn't mean that's what's going to be the equation to what God is pleased with and what God's not pleased with. There's a long study in this idea of the word please in the Bible. There's plenty of different ways that the Bible says God is pleased with. There's plenty of things that the Bible says God is displeased with. So we've chose about five or six things to help you see that God says, I am pleased when you have this in your life. First thing I want you to see, it's a life of faith, a life of faith. Most of us would say, hey, I know what one of the answers is. It's this answer. It's when we choose to say, I am going to step out by faith. I am going to trust God. And in Hebrews chapter number 11, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Now, I think it's amazing that when God is pleased with us, but when we live a life where we're walking with God and living for God, and our heart's desire is to please God, that the world around us looks at us and say, you know what? That man's pleasing God with his life. But you come to verse number 6 here, and it tells us something, and this is where the kickoff for me is, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if the Bible's saying that if we do not have faith, it's impossible to please God, then guess what? If we have faith, we're pleasing Him. Say, Pastor, I want God to be pleased with my life. I don't want to think that I'm spending all this time and giving all this effort and contributing all these things to a ministry and to a work in God's name and God not be pleased with what I'm doing. No, no, no. God says, look, if you're living by faith, He's pleased. But if we're not living a life that's by faith, the Bible says, it's not me. I don't like sometimes how blunt the Bible is, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. It is impossible for God to be pleased with your life if you're not living by faith, if you're not trusting in Him. You say, well, what is faith? Well, we know that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, chapter 11 talks about all the different things that people did by faith. The Abrahams and the Moseses and the Jacobs and the Sarahs and the Enochs and all those different guys. It's believing in not just the things we see, but instead believing in what God can do. Is that characterizing your life? Because we say, I want to be pleased with God. I don't want to think we're going through all this for motions and just to please other people and make other people happy. No, no, no. I want God to be pleased with my life. And that begins with having a life that is of faith. Do you live a life of faith? Do you have a life of trust? If you want to take your Bibles and you look here in Hebrews chapter number 11, if you like to, the Bible says a familiar verse, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it goes on in verse number 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, we have faith and we believe that God created the heaven and earth, as we've been learning in Sunday school class, that, you know, the earth tells that and screams that with all the different things when it comes because of the worldwide flood and other things like that. But the way that we believe that God created the heaven and earth, do we believe God's going to take care of our lives that way? I mean, we had to trust God for that because we believe in that. We don't have any say over that. But when it comes to our lives, when I'm living by faith, am I trusting God that He can take care of me just as well in my own life that way? That's what faith is. I can trust God with my soul to keep me out of hell, but can I trust God to tell me how to treat my husband or wife? I can trust God to do all these things, but can I trust God with my checkbook? I can trust God, but can I trust God when it comes to when He tells me to be a witness? That's a life of faith. And I know this might be something that you might like, I don't really like this message. Well, I want to please God. Don't we want to please God? Don't we want to live a life? Then it has to involve faith. Because if not, the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. And like I said, we don't want to spend our time just spinning our wheels. If God's not pleased with what we're doing, let's turn the lights off and let's go find what God's pleased with. There's no purpose behind it. There's no meaning to it. Religion is dead. But Jesus Christ and relationship and being God pleased with what we're doing is something that is real and can be something sincere in your life. Second thing I want to think of is not only a life of faith, but spiritually minded or being spiritually minded. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, for to be carnally minded, that means fleshly minded, earthly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, once again, because the carnal mind is enmity, an enemy, in a sense, against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, listen to this last phrase. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, when our mind is on the worldly things, when our mind is on the physical things, when our mind is about the flesh and what our flesh desires, another thing right there. Can't please God. If our mind's not on spiritual things and spiritually minded, and our mind is so focused on what I want and what my self wants and what I desire and what my flesh is craving and crying out for, and our flesh does crave for, our flesh does cry out. It does. There's an intimacy there. There's a fight there. If we're carnally minded, if we're more in love with the things of this world than we are with the things of God, we're not pleasing Him. We might like to think we are. We might come up and like to sing special music like we are, even give Sunday school lessons like we are, even fellowship like we are. But am I pleasing God with my life? Who am I trying to be a friend of? Who am I trying to move or please or impress? Is it myself? Is it one of you? Or is it God? The Bible says, love not the things of the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's as if we love the things of this world, the system of this world. God's saying, I'm not pleased with it. That's why he tells us, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. You know, it's a life of faith that pleases God. It's a spiritual mindedness that pleases God. The next one is fearing God. Fearing God pleases him. Look what it says in Psalms 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure, which means he's pleased with pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by fear? I think most of us have been around long enough that it's talking about a reverence and a respect. I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to do anything that he just would not be happy with. And I'm going to live my life saying, and I'm going to live above so much that I see him and I love him so much and I respect him so much. I don't want to do anything that's going to disappoint him. 2 Timothy chapter 2 puts that in a great way in verse number 4. It says, no man that warreth entangle himself with the things of this life. Now, once again, that kind of goes along with being spiritually minded. But look at the motivations that's in the second part of that verse. That he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. They're so thankful and so glad and they're so excited that God has chosen them and given them a work and put them a work and he saved us and he did all these things that we're a soldier of Jesus Christ, that I don't want to do anything that's going to make my master or my commander in chief upset. I don't want to do anything that's going to displease him. I don't want to do anything that's going to fail him. I don't want to do anything that's going to turn his nose up at. I tell you, what about that? Is that the way we live our lives? That's the way I want to live my life. Do I do it all the time? No. Do I get fleshly minded and want to care about me? Yes. That happens at times. But if I want God to be pleased with my life, it says it needs to be a life of faith. It needs to be one that's spiritually minded and one that is fearing God. And we're going to get to this in a little while, but you know, how do you live that way? I think you live your life like you're living it for God. There's one person I want to please. I've heard people use this title before. I've never heard a message preached it before. I've never heard a message before preached this way. I've maybe alluded to it before in the past, but it's the audience of one. We're there, and I don't know where that terminology came from, but you know, we're living this life for one. That's for God. We want to please him with our life. We want him to be the one standing up and giving us the ovations. Does the world do that? The world's not going to pat you on the back if you're living for God. Hopefully, brothers and sisters in the Lord will encourage you. But if I say I want to please God so much of my life, then I don't want to do anything that's going to fail him. I don't want God to be discouraged by what I'm watching on TV. It's just not worth it. I don't want to be discouraged, God to be discouraged with what I'm wearing or what I'm listening to. It's not this idea of being legalistic because I'm not adding something to salvation. It's that I want to get into my Bible. I want to get into the Word of God. I want to see what pleases God. And that's what I want to live like because I'm living for him. I'm an example. That's what the Bible says. It's not my life. I've been bought with a price. I need to glorify God with my body. And I know I like to make my wife happy, and I like to make my kids happy. I like to make church members happy. I got the attitude, I like to make everybody happy. It just doesn't happen. I've tried before. I think it'd give you a heart attack if you tried it too often. It's just, but the audience of one, to please one. Next thing I want you to think about is study and follow Jesus Christ's example. In the Bible, God on more than one occasion, or at least is recorded more than one occasion, use these words. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He said, look, I am pleased with my Son. But what's the testimony that the Son gives? He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Man, what a wonderful thought there. God, Jesus Christ's life pleased God the Father. So what should we do? Well, we should learn all we can about him. We should become as close to him as we can. He said, yeah, that'd be pretty cool if I could perform those miracles. If I could raise people from the dead, I'd be... No, it's talking about the character by he lived by, the faith that he had, the walk that he had, the testimony he had, the way he treated people. You know, we can learn so much. Now, is that what he came to give us an example? That wasn't the main reason. It was a seeking to save that which was lost. But can we learn from those years? Yes. If God the Father says, I am pleased with what he's done, then let's learn what he has done and let's replicate that. Also, let's, next thing, obeying God. You can probably make an argument these kind of go hand in hand. These things go all together. I chose this story back in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Most of us know the story. God gave Saul a commandment. God told Saul to go kill all the Amalekites, and there was a reason for that. And 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 20, Samuel calls Saul on it and says, you didn't do what God told you to do. And he says, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. See, God said, this is what I want you to do. Saul said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow God 95% of the way. But when he comes and he talks to the prophet, he says, I have obeyed God. I did listen to God. But partial disobedience or partial obedience is disobedience. And this is how he said, no. He did 95% right. God must have been happy. No, God sends Samuel and says, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. What he's saying is, what is God going to be pleased with in his life? What is God really looking at and say, I am pleased with what they're doing? Is it the people that sacrifice the most? Is it the people that put on the biggest show? God says, I'd rather you listen to me. Before all else, if you just learn to obey me, the sacrificing, the praising will come later. But if you'll just learn to obey me. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Thanking the Lord. It says, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his names. But to do good, which means be obedient, and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I don't know about you, but I want God to be pleased with my sacrifices. I don't know about you, but when I see people on their knees crawling to some religious artifact or place, it breaks my heart. Why is that? It does nothing. It's not good. When somebody will sacrifice great amounts of time and great amounts of energy and great amounts to do some type of false worship, you think about all those babies that were murdered for Malek and those false gods, it breaks your heart. Why is that? Because it's not a real God. And then you come to this spot, God's saying, I want you to obey first. In your life tonight, is there something that you know you're supposed to be doing that you're not obeying God with? Something that God spoke to your heart. Maybe it was at the beginning of the year, and we're having this message to check it up, see how well we're doing, see if we're progressing, see if we're going to reach that point that we think God laid upon our heart. If there's something in my heart that I know I'm supposed to be doing and I'm saying no, God says, he'd rather have you obey than to give burnt offerings and sacrifices. So here's the thought. How can you live that way? And it's living for him and not others. Once again, we like to please other people. At least I do. I don't get excited when I have to make other people mad. Some people like that. Some people say things to irritate them, to agitate them, to get a response. I think they got problems, but that's okay. But I like to please people, but I got to be more worried about pleasing God. I got to be willing to say, Lord, I want to obey you. I want to listen to you. Remember that others may judge you, but you will not give an account to them for how you've lived your life. You will give an account to God, though. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you and of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judges me is the Lord. We got to remember it's God that judges us. And you can please God with your life. See, this is what makes probably the most exciting part of the message for me is when the Bible says, for without faith it's impossible to please God. I can please God with my life. There's things I can do with this old dirty flesh that can please God. I don't know about you, but you know, when you get saved and God sets you apart for a work, and sometimes it's overwhelming, and sometimes the devil likes to beat you down, tell you you're no good, you're lousy, nothing can ever good can happen to you, you can never do anything that accounts for anything. But the Bible's telling us that we can actually please God with our lives. The Bible's saying that God can look upon what we're doing and be satisfied and pleased and accept what we do. See, that makes me excited, that the Lord who created the heavens and the earth, and the Lord that created the universe, and the Lord who died for me, I can please. What a great motivation. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brother, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, that you would abound more and more." Colossians 3:22 says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Even, you know, doing the things that we're supposed to do, that other people are going to say, "You've done a good job." Other people are going to say, "You're a good employee, you're a good this, you're a good that." We're not doing for them. We're doing it for the audience of one. We're doing it because we want to please God. We're doing it because, hey, I don't care if anybody else is doing it. I don't care what anybody else thinks or says. I'm going to obey God. Now, let me also kind of step aside here and say, you know, God gives us authorities in our lives. Don't any of you parents go, don't any of you kids go home and take out your phone and start doing things you're not supposed to and say, "Look, I'm pleasing God. I don't care what you say, Mom and Dad." Doesn't work that way, because God already told us in his word, he's developed principles, he's developed guidelines, he's developed relationships, he's developed authorities, he's told us all these things. But we can live in a way that pleases God even amongst his authorities. And if we're ever told to obey, we're supposed to obey God rather than man. And if man ever tries to get you to disobey God, then the Bible is talking about obeying God rather than man. What does this word please mean? To be satisfied with, to be content with, to be excited about. That's what I want God to be with my life. And oftentimes when you hear me pray, that is my heart desire. I want to make a friend of God. I want to please God with my life. So when we come to this spot, we're halfway through 2016, and it just flies by, doesn't it? I don't know about you. It just flies by, and, you know, some of these guys are going to be seniors next year. And I remember them when they were tiny and they were little and they were troublemakers. Now they're big and they're still troublemakers. But Christian's one of my son Christian's going to be a senior next year, and Christian Bateman and Marcus and Brandon and Megan and, you know, all these. We watched that class because it was one of the bigger classes, just kind of grow up through our church, and time just flies. If we're going to make a difference, we're going to live for God, we need to do it now. If we're going to say, you know, 2016 is the year I'm going to stop doing this and start doing this, it should have already started now. Not because the pastor gave a goal. Not because of the fact it's kind of cool and I can have a New Year's resolution. No, because I want to please God. So ask yourself this question. Am I pleasing God? Do I have a life of faith? Am I spiritually minded? Am I obeying God? Am I caring what God says more than what other people say? And now, one last thing to think about. Do I fear God? Am I being what Christ would be? Some people throw up their hands and say, "Well, if I can't please God, then I'm not going to do any of it." God wouldn't ask you to do something he couldn't enable you to do. God wouldn't give you instructions in his word that with his spirit and his power that you cannot do. He wouldn't. He's saying, "Look, you can have a life that pleases me. Pastor, you don't know my life. You don't know my family. You don't know my situation. You don't know my job. You don't know my friends. You don't know all the things I'm dealing with." I don't. But God says if you have faith, you can please him. God says if your mind is focused on the heavenly and not earthly things, and you fear him, you live for him, you try to follow the steps of Jesus Christ and you obey him, he'll be pleased with your life. Let him take care of the results. You live for God. You say, "I'm going to try to please God with my life. My life might not be much. I might not have that many talents. My life might even be a mess. I might not even get along with my family members. I might not even like anybody, or I might not have any friends. I might not have any resources. I might not have any talents. But you know what? With what God's given me, I'm going to please God with what he's given me. And I'm going to let him take care of the rest. Because that's what we can do. We can control what we do. And if we are going to please God with our hearts, with our lives, I believe it begins with a life of faith, being spiritually minded, fearing God, following after Christ, and obeying him. Oh, God's pleased with me. I did this. And God's pleased with me. I did that. If you did what you're supposed to, God was pleased with you at that moment. But if it's not involved with a life of faith, if it's not something done spiritually minded wise, if it's not something done out of obedience, as a fear for him, we need to ask this question. Am I pleasing God with the way I teach my Sunday school class? With the way I am a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter? Am I pleasing God with this? Yes, we all like to think we are. But let's take a few minutes to examine that. During invitation time, just like I said, take a few minutes to examine and just make a commitment. God, I can't figure it all out right now, but I know that I want you to be pleased with me in my work, in my home, and in my church. Let's go ahead and stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time invitation. Am I pleasing God with my life? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the people that are here. Lord, I know some of these people, most of these people, I love them. Lord, they're a wonderful church family. But Lord, as we mentioned earlier, we don't want to be spinning our wheels. Lord, we want to be pleasing you. Lord, in your word, you tell us some things and some ways that we can please you. Lord, help us to be living a life of faith. Help us to be spiritually minded people that fear you and studying Christ and following after him and obeying you with our hearts and our lives. Help us not to give up. That's what the life of faith is about, believing that God can do all that we ask or even think, and abundantly above that. Lord, we know you can do all things. Lord, help us to live a life acting like that. Lord, we're asking that you be pleased with us here. Be pleased with Faith Baptist Church. We're not perfect. We fall and we come short sometimes. Lord, help it to be overwhelming desire that what we do here, Lord, we be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, what we do in our individual lives, from the little to the big things, that we want to please you. Because you're the one who has called us into your service. In Jesus' name, amen.